by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
About sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information about Sex with Emily, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can listen to our podcast, sign up for our mailing list, RSS feed, find out how to follow me on Twitter and Facebook, and all that good stuff. I'm really excited for today's show. I'm here with Menace, of course.
Hello.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Well, we have two special guests, and they are very special guests. They've been on the show. This is their third visit. Celeste and Danielle are sex and relationship therapists in San Francisco, Bay Area. And they just wrote a book. They've had them on the book a bunch because I've always been so fascinated by their work. They're not just any kind of other sex and relationship therapist, but they actually do hands-on training for men and women, teaching them, not just talking, here's what you do, but showing them how to get the most and how to get the most sexual pleasure and how to have heightened sexual experiences. And they just do amazing work. And I've been dying to take one of their classes forever, which is on my list to do before I die, and hopefully sooner than that. Celeste and Danielle wrote a book. So we are talking about the book. I'm so proud of you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The book is The Extraordinary Lover's Guide to Being the Man You Want to Be and Driving Women Wild. So hi, Celeste and Danielle.
Hi.
Hi, good to see you. What's the real title of the book?
The real title of the book is Cockfidence.
Do you love it, Menace?
I love it.
Not that you need it, but no, every man needs it. Here's the thing. I was reading this and I was like, oh my God, I want to give this to every single man I've been with that is, because I've had a lot of bad sex lately. Just that's just a side note.
I'm sorry.
And I don't know why. Just like me. Like I was like life's curse. Like I know everything about it and I'm having, and of course I could take control and do all that stuff. But everything you need in one straightforward guide. Experience the power of having men admire you and women desire you. Lead women to the heights of their orgasm. This is all in the book. Heights of their orgasmic potential. Master your sexual function. Get hard, stay hard, last longer. I love this one. This is so important. For every sex book should have this in it, and I don't know why they don't. Know how to effectively help women process their emotions.
Yes.
I'm going to start this chapter for you. Flag it, Menace. Yeah. Keep seduction and sensuality alive in long-term relationships. Get the most out of every second of your sexual experiences. So we're going to go through some of the chapters of the book. Thank you so much. Okay, so tell me about this book. How did it... First, back up. Let's do a little briefing. People, if you haven't listened, you can search on my website for Celeste and Danielle. They've done a bunch of shows about the work they do. But tell me a little bit about your practice. It's a booming sex... I refer so many people to you. I'm always like, you got to go see Celeste and Danielle if you're having any kind of sexual concerns, you want to heighten your sex life. So talk about what you do.
Well, I think you've talked about it so well. And, you know, I have to tell you that I'm so excited to be on the show today, specifically because I had an amazing couple in my office today, and they found out about us on your show.
Oh.
Yes.
That makes me feel so good.
Such good timing.
I love it.
Come around.
That is so funny.
And your listeners are so awesome because they were just like the most awesome couple on the planet. So
oh,
I was just,
God.
I was
that
just
makes
like
me,
so happy to work with them.
That makes me feel really, that makes me feel just as good. Love
what
it.
What do they say about us? I'm just kidding.
It was all about you.
No.
So anyway, you know, the work that we do is very experiential. And like you were saying, and we really help people, you know, communicate around sex, communicate around relationship, intimacy, desires. We help them actually practice in experiential ways with everything from like touch to bringing passion and desire to each other. So it's a very, you know, it's a very wide spectrum of like, you know, people coming to us whose like sex life has completely died, to people who want to just enhance an already wonderful sex life, to people who are like, okay, sex is doing okay, but we need to talk about this relationship stuff because there's a lot that's, you know, not the gears aren't going smoothly here.
Right.
So it's sort of the full spectrum.
Okay, because you're therapist as well. It's not just sex, but it's sex and relationships, and the two are so intertwined that I think that
completely.
So many couples are. They're just going to relationship counselor. And these are the ones I'm always saying, you should go see a sex therapist if that's really your issue. And you honestly, you look at, I don't know what the percentage is, you would know better, but how many couples would you say when it breaks down and they're having issues that a lot of it you can kind of tie back to sex issues.
It usually goes back to sex.
Most issues, right? If you really break it down, they might say it's the kids and we don't have time and da-da-da-da. But really, it could be, right? It's some kind of...
Who's causing the most issues, the man or the woman?
The kids.
Exactly.
Kids are a pain in the ass. You tell me. I don't have any, but I'm telling you. They suck, right?
Yeah, it's all about the kids, you know? Never have time to have sex, never have time,
so
you know?
You're saying don't have kids in your relationship.
No,
right?
I'm the last one to say it. I have kids in my relationship. I love them. Yeah, it's just really, when people kind of get married, they get excited about the marriage and being a family, and that's wonderful, but they start raising kids and they completely forget themselves. They wait for, oh, I'm just going to, they leave... the laundry comes before the sex, you know. Mm-hmm. We put the kids to bed, we do the laundry, we do, you know, we work on our computers, we write some emails, and then we're going to get exhausted. So they don't actually, you know, make time for sex, and sex needs time. People think it's going to be spontaneous, but it's not going to be spontaneous.
And I think what you said too, Emily, about people coming in and going to relationship therapists and really working, they can have their whole relationship ironed out. They can be the best domestic partners and co-parents and all of those other things on the planet. But so many therapists don't have training in sexuality, which is an entirely different set of skills than it takes to run a household smoothly.
Exactly.
You know?
I remember famously having an old friend of mine saying, well, my wife and I, we've been in therapy, talk therapy for 8 years, and it's a relationship. And I said, well, and then he started, of course, like everyone opening up. He's like, but we really have these sex issues. I'm like, well, what is your therapist? He says, oh, I've never brought up sex. I said, for 8 years, you've been in therapy, shelling out money. You never talked to me. He's like, oh, no, that never seemed right.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, it's so obvious. So that's when they need to come see you. Yes. So,
and also, you know, communication around sex is very different than communication around domestic stuff, you know. It's just a different set of communication people need to develop, and it's different. It's not like texting. Okay, who picked up the kids, and when are you going, or when are you coming home? What do you want to have for dinner? It's passion and looking in each other's eyes and spending time together. So it's very different.
So that's a lot of stuff that you cover in the book, which I think. I mean, I was reading through just that you have excerpts, and tell me your website. So it's people can check it out.
www.celesteanddanielle.com. That's Celesteanddanielle.
Okay, great. And this also will be on my website.
Yeah.
And so I love that you break it down into the 9 qualities that allow men to reclaim their sense of power and freedom, understand and express their sexual desires, and drive women wild sexually. So what are some of the categories in here that, like you just said, the huge one is spontaneity. That is one of the crucial factors that is missing in relationships that prohibit people, I think, from having good sex. Spontaneity is one of them. So how do you bring spontaneity back?
Well, I think, you know,
or how do you even bring it if it was never even there?
And even before that,
why is it important?
What is
all
it?
Those things? Exactly. Let's start with what is it?
What is it?
What is spontaneity? I mean, we all know, like, oh, all of a sudden you rip my clothes off and we're on the kitchen table, but really, like, intellectually, spiritually, what does it represent?
Well, we really break it down in terms of like the definition, and we break it into 2 different qualities, which are creativity and flexibility. And I think you need both of those things. So you need to be willing to bring all of your ideas and, you know, bring newness into the experience. But a lot of people, it's like they don't want to do that because they're afraid in some way that their idea is going to be rejected. And that's why flexibility is important, because you might bring an amazing idea and the person just isn't ready. Your partner isn't ready to receive it right at that moment. That doesn't mean she never will. That doesn't mean she won't even like 5 minutes later. But if you feel rejected when you bring something creative, you sort of like pull yourself away. And if you also have flexibility, you turn around and you go, okay, you don't want that, let's try this. That's spontaneity. You need to be able to have both of those qualities to really roll with the punches, you know, and keep going even if something gets rejected. It doesn't mean you're getting rejected because she's right there with you, you know?
Right.
It means that the thing isn't what she wants at that moment.
So then what do you tell people? What's the right? I mean, there is no right moment, but it's just like, don't get discouraged. If the first time you bring it up and she's like, oh, that's weird, you know, it's kind of like there's other ways to finesse it. It doesn't mean that it's not a conversation you should have. I started something here twice. So I love that you said if you go, this is when about like, when, you know, foreplay, when you're starting out, if you go too quickly to the kiss, you don't allow any attention and excitement to build. When you wait, you allow yourself and her to build into a frenzy of desire where you can't rip each other's clothes off fast enough. So can you talk more about that? Like, because I always talk about that the men just, it seems that the men I'm with, the people, they just want to rush right to the act. They're skipping over the kissing. They're not making eye contact. They're not doing those things. They're not letting it build. And that's what so much is but the building and the tension. Why don't people do that naturally?
It's time consuming.
All comes to time and kids, after all. Yeah. People don't want to do it in front of the kids. Huh? Yeah. So when we talk about spontaneity, a lot of it is about creating it as part of the relationship. And people kind of like look at spontaneity as surprise. And I think those two terms are actually not the same. There's no need to surprise each other all the time in order to create spontaneous, fun, sexual relationship. Because sometimes creating times and knowing that you're going to have sex can allow a lot of spontaneity. So that's about just a little additive to this.
My issue is that because I'm an asshole or something like that, I just think spontaneity is like cheesy. Well, maybe I'm thinking that it just seems fake, you know? Like if you're in a relationship and it's kind of dead and then, well, I got to be wild and crazy to be able to have sex with this person or get them interested, doesn't it seem kind of fake, or does it seem fake to you at all, or am I going anywhere with this? It just seems that I gotta do all this extra work that is not really real.
Right. So we never tell people to fake it, because people, you know, your partner can actually tell if you're faking it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, how do you, I mean, one of the qualities that we talk about in here is passion. And it's sort of like how to live a passionate life. And when you're living a passionate life in general, you feel more passionate. You sort of like that feeling of spontaneity, of creativity, of flexibility, it's sort of alive inside of you, and you want to bring it because it feels good to you. If your relationship is dead and you're not enjoying the person anymore, then you need to think about, like, okay, is this really what I want? Mm-hmm. But it might be that you're just sort of like not living a passionate life. You're not being true to yourself. And I think that's the other part of this book that we really emphasize, is that it's not just about pleasing women. It's about how men can really get in touch with who they are and what they want. And so that these kinds of, you know, these qualities sort of come from this internal place of connection with themselves, and not like, okay, I need to do this now, or, you know, like a puppet show where you're like, okay, we're gonna stay.
Yeah.
Like that's not that, you know, women can feel the difference. You can feel the difference. It's not fun for anybody.
Right. So it's not so mechanical like that. It is much more integrative.
Yeah. It's all about the win-win situation when men become much more connected with themselves, and then women are attracted to them, because women are attracted to passionate men. They're attracted to men who are interested in things and not just like all about them, you know? So it's not only about passionate about your woman, it's also about being passionate about your things and what you want in life. And unfortunately, many men compromise throughout their lives because they think that that's better for their relationship. And it's not like relationships do not demand compromise, but it's not about losing yourself. Yes, you can compromise about maybe when you eat breakfast, but if you start compromising about the stuff that's most important for you, you kind of like slowly collapse inside, and that's when death happens in a relationship, because people kind of like start losing their essence.
Right. And you talk here also in the same chapter on spontaneity that there's some pitfalls with passion. You may fear that desiring women in this way is objectifying and that she'll feel like you only want her for sex. And this is a great point that you make, is on the contrary, being desired intensely is one of the most common fantasies that women have. So, and at the same time, so she wants to know she's desired, but she also wants to know that you're connected to her. So this is when you talk about the eye contact, saying her name, telling her things that are passionate, because that stuff is so that it's not a disconnect. Like a lot of times you feel like men are wanting to have sex, and it's just like this, it's just, they're just in their body or they're just in their mind, but they're not connected as one. And so it's just a mess, and they're just trying to get your pants off and have sex, and there's no connection.
So you're talking about life as a foreplay, right? because that's what it is about, right? Life is, that's when women feel desired, when they feel that men create, their partner create eye contact with them during the day, and not only when they want to have sex with them.
Exactly.
And that's, we call it connected objectification sometimes for shorthand, because it's like, of course the woman wants to know that you like think her boobs are great and that you love her hips and you want to grab her butt. But if that's all you want, if you're not really there with her in a more present way, you know, interpersonally and emotionally, it doesn't mean you have to be like, I love you or want to be with you forever. But, you know, there's an emotional connection that's created, and women really want to feel that. They
so there's a lot of
something.
Yeah. I mean, so in here, there's a lot. It's not just like, this isn't a book that you're going to pick up and be like, there's all these sex tips. It's also really a therapeutic book. I mean, it uses some tenets of therapy, right, to help men get more connected with themselves. because men are tend to block out their emotions and not be as emotionally open to helping to women, to connecting with women and empathy and all the things that you talk about. So it really goes there. Menace, you should read this book.
Yes. And when, you know, and I don't want to scare men because it's not like
it's not scary, touchy, feely, weird,
yeah,
right?
It's okay, not, it's let's very not, practical. Let's just say it's that. Very straightforward. It's very down to earth. Like we speak, you know, I sort of like channel my inner heterosexual male. You know, Danielle channels her female goddess, and we create this in a way that I think men can really relate to in a really grounded kind of.
Is there
way.
Photos in it?
There's just one picture of a vulva, see? So you know.
Okay. You know? But this is a great.
How are you going to get in touch with guys if there's no.
Okay, let's work on Menace. Just let's try this for a second.
But
pretend
you have
that Menace.
Check the cover.
Let's
the
pretend
yeah, the
work
cover's
it out.
Hot.
Every time you need a sniff of something, right. You know, go back to the cover.
Okay. Cover's very hot. Right.
But yeah. Let's pretend that Menace is one of your clients. He's slightly disconnected, I think, from some of his emotions. And I'm not sure that he's as connected with women. But what would you, you know, how would
I mean,
you work with him?
How would you fix me? Well, I mean, what do you think?
Like,
my,
what are some of the questions? Like, let's just demonstrate the book here.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, first of all, Menace, you're not broken.
I'm not broken.
You're not broken, and I think that that's a really important place to start. It's not about like it's not about fixing. It's about how you get in touch with who you are and what you really want. And sometimes men do get really out of touch with that because there's a lot of ways in which men sort of don't pay attention to their emotional responses to things. They did a study and they found that men are actually more emotionally responsive than women, but they also have a much more immediate way of blocking that response. So there's the immediate response and then there's the immediate blocking of that response. So men aren't necessarily paying attention to their emotional responses and they aren't necessarily following their own needs. And so, you know, if I was working with you, I would help you get more deeply in touch with who you are and what you really want. I wouldn't be like, how can we fix Menace to make him, you know.
Nothing's
like,
wrong with you, honey.
Not really. The problem is with me, when I do have a problem in a relationship, I don't like to elaborate. I like to just say what is wrong. This is what is, but they always feel that there's more than what I'm saying, and then that's where the argument happens.
Exactly. Thank you for being the stereotypical male right now.
What do you mean? Like if I say what I mean.
Well, yeah, and you and feel I mean like they're trying to drag something more out of you, and you're like, I've already said it.
I've already told you what the problem is. Is there something more of an explanation that I need to make up to make this conversation longer so you can have an argument that you can talk about with your girlfriends later? You know?
But a lot of this is about skills that are important to women, like connection and empathy and showing that you actually really like care about her and her needs and... In a way that's real and heartfelt and deep.
I hope I would show that every day. But if there's any issues that come up and I tell you what the problem is, I don't need to keep on being poked to bring out more because there isn't more.
Yeah, I think you know what we have sort of a patented like seven step. I can't remember seven eight step, like sort of like how to support women when they're emotional because sometimes
let's get into that. How do you support
but that's
women
emotionally draining on the man?
That's why you got to do it
so
to get a blowjob.
So emotionally draining because I think it gets emotionally draining because you see the way that they're escalating and men sort of like freeze. They think, okay, what do I need to do? Apologize? Do I need to explain myself? Wait, this isn't logical at all. Like, why? This doesn't make any sense. And they get into this place where they feel really distanced because of the way that she's responding. And it's like, there's actually very little that you have to do in that moment. And I think that's what we talk about in the book. We sort of break it down to like, so you don't have to get so overwhelmed by the experience. There's not really something to fix there. But if you can stay present and connected with yourself and not feel like you have to, you know, if she's still pulling stuff out of you, you know, which is one of the things that women do when they get stressed. I call it interrogating.
So you can just say something like, oh, sweetie, you really want to hear much more, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, just acknowledge that there's
something. Yeah, okay. We don't want you to fix. That's such a good point to bring up is that, and this is such a common dynamic that I've had in so many relationships and I've heard all the time is that, you know, men, they're just wired that way. It's in their DNA. A woman crying, woman's upset, woman's got an issue, I need to fix it. And then a lot of times they can't fix it because it's just an emotional thing that we're having and it's an experience and we had a bad day and we just want you to listen.
Okay. All right. I'll do what you say, okay? But can you have a meeting with women and and just let them know when a man asks them what is wrong, they respond with what is wrong, not nothing, 17,000 times. And then when the guy drops it, then they're upset because they really want to say what's wrong. Can you guys have like a summit somewhere?
So firstly, for
we'll have like
that.
a million woman march.
Yeah. Firstly, when we talk to women, we do tell them this. But I mean, there's something about the playing field that you're talking about here, Menace. It's really important, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things we do is we break down like, why is the playing field the way that it is so men can have a little compassion? Mm-hmm. If what you're taught is to be nice all the time and make sure everything else is okay and everyone else is okay before you deal with yourself, then if somebody asks you if something's wrong, you go nothing because you don't want to rock the boat because you've been taught your whole life you're not supposed to. So that's part of female training. And it sucks. It sucks for women. It sucks for men.
Where do we stop the training?
I know. I wish we could stop the training.
We're
too.
Doing it now.
That's what we're doing. That's why we have the book out.
That's the point. And
you're doing the Lord's work.
Thank you so much.
Saving the world, you know?
Right. Well, let's talk about also one of the chapters I thought was really interesting that I learned actually some new information was about G-spot orgasms, the elusive G-spot orgasm. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, women are taught, you know, they have it or they don't. Either they have a G-spot or they don't. Some people say it doesn't even exist. Some women try to find it, and then over their life they think, oh, I'll never be able to get a sensation that way. And you actually talk about the fact that the G-spot could evolve over time in a woman. Can you talk more about that and like learning to find the G-spot?
Yes, completely. So you are right. There is research that shows that some women has G-spot and some women don't, but they actually kind of like saw that some women have more sensations in their G-spot, and therefore the G-spot is more expended physically, and some women don't, but they didn't make the right conclusion out of it. They said, okay, so some women have it and some women don't, but actually the G-spot can be developed. So women who seems like they don't have it can develop it over time with usually manual stimulation. That's the way to do it because the fingers can get much deeper and more refined stimulation, and women over time can really develop sensations in this area
And they can do it themselves, or their partner can help them.
They can do it themselves, but you know, if they have a partner,
why not? Sign me up.
Very nice to have a friend with strong hands to help you out.
Exactly. It says that you detail locating and massaging techniques in the book.
Yes.
Is that where the one picture is? Is that
what
it's
at the beginning
for?
Of that chapter. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you'll know where to find it.
It has a map.
There's
a roadmap. And
I can personally attest to it. I mean, I was a clit girl my whole life, you know, and in the last 3 or 4 years, my G-spot has been developed and, like, awakened, and it's like, boom, you know, the clit is like the fuse, but the G-spot is like the bomb, and when you get them both together, it's like this wonderful explosion.
So even you, sex therapist, sex relationship extraordinaire, did you spend 3 years doing these exercises or the last few years?
No, these last 3 years my G-spot has been engaged. So
oh,
it
just got engaged.
That long.
Right. It wasn't like you were massaging every night, but
no,
helps.
No.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
When that first happened, I hope your house had good foundation.
It was noisy, I can tell.
But that's amazing.
And that's how we learn to be great sex therapists, because we experience it in our own bodies.
Exactly. You have to. You have to experience your own bodies. Another thing that you guys included in here, which I thought was great, because this really is a top question I get asked, and this is a question that you got asked, or you said it's from Men's Health Blog. My wife and I want to spice things up, but she says she doesn't have any fantasies she wants to fulfill. Is that possible? Because I always say to men and women, I mean, communication is so important. Ask your partner what her fantasy is. And there are a lot of women who don't admit to the traditional fantasies, or they think that there's a quintessential way that you have to fantasize, and you kind of break down that women fantasize maybe in a different way.
Yes, they do.
She's fantasizing about another man is the thing.
No.
Usually, actually, women fantasize about more like romantic encounters, someone opening the door for them, bringing them flowers, you know, taking them for a walk on the beach. So they're much more
romantic. Yeah, I like that you made the distinction between the romantic and the sexual. Like, we're not thinking about pounding 16 women in an orgy.
Damn.
So you guys are thinking about Fabio on the cover of some magazine.
Exactly.
Some book you find out.
Kind
Walmart.
Of. Kind. No, really. But women are more romantic.
So many women
Many women
who don't think they have fantasy usually have romantic fantasy. There are also other women who have very passionate fantasies, and many other women who have very dominant fantasies, but the ones that usually don't know that they have fantasies have romantic ones.
So yeah, and you
because
suggest
overtly sexual necessarily.
Yeah. So you suggest to the man just to say, or to the partner just to say, so what is your idea of a perfect date?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was a great suggestion.
Have you found in the past couple of years that fantasies have changed a lot? like they've gotten a lot more hardcore with media and stuff like that, instead of the whole Gone with the Wind fantasy to very dominant fantasies. Or is that just me?
No, that's just your effed up world.
That's what you got into, huh?
I think there are many women who have fantasies that are about like intense passion or sometimes dominance. But you know, we're still brought up on fairy tales and romance movies, and so it's a real combination.
I feel that it's going to change a lot.
It may change a lot, and you know, I think we're not seeing so much the 20-somethings right now because most 20-somethings don't go to sex therapists. People don't start to identify things as problems. Although, I wish that some 20-somethings would come who are dealing with not being able to orgasm or dealing with not being, like, I have worked with some male clients who either were having erectile dysfunction or couldn't control their ejaculation at a younger age, and it's like, thank goodness, you know, if you don't let it get entrenched for 15 years, you have a much better, it's a much faster process to deal with those things. But you know, I think we probably will be seeing different fantasies as the porn generation grows up because of, you know, the internet, it's so pervasive.
Yeah. We have clients that are fathers to teenage boys, and they wait for the book to come out to give it as a gift to their boys. Because
this would be a great gift
amazing.
For men.
Yeah.
Every single man I date, I'm going to give it to him before.
I mean, and a wife,
I'm like, going to need a lot of copies.
Before we go any further, can we say something about our party? Because I really
want... Oh, please.
Yeah,
that's the first place to get the book.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
tell me.
So the book is coming out on February 5th, and we're going to be having a party at 111 Minna called Sensualité. And
I love that place.
Love it. It's in San Francisco.
It's a beautiful venue, and we've had two of these Sensualité parties before, and they're really sexy, great music, sushi, and aphrodisiac hors d'oeuvres, and burlesque, and belly dance, and acrobats, and
oh
so it's going to be a really fun...
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah,
okay,
really
so that's February
event.
5th. This is in San Francisco, so you got to come to San Francisco if you're not here for the big party. And then otherwise, where could they buy your book? On your website?
They can buy it on Amazon.
Amazon. Yes. Awesome. Okay.
Sweet.
Yes, we'll
so
have,
they can just look it up.
Is it going to be in a digital form?
We are going to get it into
sweet.
Kindle.
Yeah. You guys were at the times.
Yeah.
That's
great.
So today, today the book went to print, so we're going to have it out.
Oh my God,
February
5th. I'm so excited to see it. And then one more thing that I wanted to say was, you talk about confidence as one of the points that they should learn. And I think it's interesting when you say that men doubt their competence. In sexually, they begin to lose confidence in themselves, which can lead to performance anxiety. So I think that there is so much about men who don't want to feel like they're letting their partner down, they're letting themselves down, there's something wrong, and then just gets exacerbated. So how do you teach men to really embrace that and to build their confidence?
So, performance anxiety is something that men deal with all the time. And I think one of the things that's really different about this book than other books around, you know, technique or being a great lover is that we actually address directly, like, how to master your sexual function in terms of ejaculation control and erectile dysfunction. We deal with it, you know, directly. And so a lot of it is, you know, actually, like, if I have 5 sessions with a guy, I can make him able to control ejaculation. That's the bottom line. It's really not that hard. And I break down the steps in the book, but it does take some practice. It's, you know, like when you...
That's the thing. You got to commit to the practice.
You have to commit to the practice because it's like you can't pick up a baseball bat and hit a home run,
right.
You know? Like you actually have to... It's an embodied learning. So embodied learning happens in layers. Just like when you first learn how to drive a car. It's like you can barely like just keep your hands on the steering wheel, and then 5 years later you've got a sandwich in one hand and your phone in the other,
right.
And you're changing the radio. So you actually have to practice so that you can, you know, keep connected with yourself and feel your partner's arousal and, you know, be able to do all of those things, multitask at once and, you know, learn how to breathe correctly and learn how to relax your body in certain ways and places in order to be able to have that kind of mastery. And the anxiety getting in your brain really pulls you away from it. So the more we help people get back into their bodies and connected with their sensation and their breath, the more that they sort of let go of all of the thoughts that are taking them out of the experience.
And then there's exercises in the book, right?
Every chapter has an exercise.
There's no yoga involved, right? Because I can't get down with that.
No yoga.
No yoga.
Because I injured myself and I'm not doing it.
You know, usually homework is masturbation.
Oh, okay.
We give fun homework.
We give fun homework. Clients love it.
I think I've done that before.
Once or twice.
Men's got an A in masturbation chapter.
Check one.
God, well, this is great. I love it. Anything else you guys want to add that we need to know? I'm thrilled for you guys. I think if anyone should write a book, you guys should write a book. So
thank
exciting.
You
so
much. Thank you so
I think
much.
Everyone should read it. CelesteandDanielle.com, and all the info is on my website. And the name of the book again?
Cockfidence.
Cockfidence. Love it. I just said it. Okay. The Extraordinary Lover's Guide to Being the Man You Want to Be and Driving Women Wild.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Celeste and Danielle. I totally appreciate it. I appreciate you being on the show, and it's great to see you again.
Thank you. That went by so fast. It's so nice to see you.
I know. It's so great. Okay, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.
You've been listening to Sex with Emily with your host, Emily Morris. Have a question about sex, relationships, or anything in between? Email Emily at feedback@sexwithemily.com. Want to add Emily to your Facebook or Twitter page? Visit Emily's website, sexwithemily.com, where you'll also find the latest Sex with Emily news and podcasts. Archive podcasts can be downloaded from iTunes. From the Stitcher Studios in beautiful San Francisco, California, you've been listening to Sex with Emily. Thanks for listening.